Hey, what's happening, guys? It's Ezra Henry here at Moto247. Dean Taylor is co-hosting here with me tonight, and we're gonna dig into the Supercross season and just talk about Glendale. Glendale was one crazy round, and it was really cool to see the Triple Crown back. And not only that, the track layout was pretty awesome. I'm really pumped to see that. And like I said in the previous couple episodes, like I don't know, it just really sucks like seeing the track lap times go down into the 40s, and last year with COVID, like I brought that up too, where they had to do three different layouts in 1 week. So obviously, it's not going to be as good as they probably wanted it to be, and the freedom of changing the layouts and everything, which they couldn't, couldn't do. But still, it sucked. But even without COVID, like we've been seeing some faster tracks lately, and dipping down into the 40s. And this year, I think there was one so far, but most of them have been in the 50s, and then with a huge floor space in Glendale, it was perfect for a bigger track. And I think the lap times are like 101, 102-ish, right around there. But it was over a minute. But anyways, yeah, really pumped on that. Really good racing as well. Eli Tomac was on it, man. He is back. He's looking really good. I don't think he's looked this good since 2018, right before that new Cowie model came out. Where he debuted that at MX Nations at Redbud, looked off, looked really bad. Then ever since then he's kind of been off. He got that Supercross title in 2020 though, which people always bring up. But still, he didn't have that same like speed at that just that that riding style that he, or not the riding style, but just that intensity I should say that he had back in the previous years when he was battling with Dungey and catching up to the pack back then. But yeah, this episode is going to be a good one here. I got Dean back for another episode, and we're going to dig into the Supercross stuff. Added a couple or one new segment in, and we'll have a couple more for next week. But anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 35 here, and I hope you guys enjoy it. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. Have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick. But not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then their link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at whiskey_throttle_grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio. And we're back, episode 35 of the Moto247 show. And today's going to be a fun one after a crazy weekend in Glendale. Kind of speechless with just the whole night in general, but
a lot to talk about with the 450 class and the 250 class. Definitely crazy round, and definitely gives everybody hyped up for what's to come this weekend if Tomac can keep his strong ride going, and if Christian Craig can keep bouncing back and kick some ass or something, or if Vince Freeze will just kick everybody's ass.
Yeah, we got a call coming in.
Yeah, we actually were able to get a hold of Vince Freeze this week for you guys, and just we wanted to get his take on the whole incident that happened this weekend with him taking out Craig, or, you know, accidentally taking him out, whoever your take is. So here we go. We got Vince calling in right now.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Every time he gets you. Oh, shit. Yeah, good stuff there.
Vince. What's your whole opinion on it?
I think it's bull crap. Like, they're talking about just how he was on the brakes the last second, but like if you look at it like in slow motion, it's like the very last second, and he was already kind of committed, it looked like to me. But then they're saying, well, the 250s didn't have a sight lap, and the track was just groomed, and you know that's why he went to the outside. But I still think he could have made the inside. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of bullcrap.
Yeah, and, like, I don't get him racing everybody so hard. Like, it's going to bring me into, like, this whole debate that I have with, like, the AMA and picking favorites and how hard they are and everybody else. But, like, he races everybody hard. And I get it if maybe you're around the same pace or if you're making the pass to somebody faster than you. You know, and, like, maybe he wasn't planning on hitting Craig. Maybe he was planning on making Craig back off the throttle. But why are you trying to dive in front of Craig when he is clearly faster than you? You know, I mean, you're just delaying the inevitable and holding him up, and in the sense being, you know, a douchebag, like, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, with what you said, you're just going to slow him up and slow both of you guys up. And then let's say he had the pass right there. Okay, Craig gets by. Shoot, that sucks, but let's see if I can tag on the back of Craig and just trying to follow his pace and stick with him.
Yeah, learn some lines.
Yeah, learn some lines. Just getting that race pace that Craig has, which has been phenomenal this year.
Yeah.
But instead he tries to pull a bonehead move, which he does all the time, his whole career. And I was looking back on Facebook and someone was saying something about taking him out in 07.
That was Les Smith. He was a top amateur rider back in the early 2000s, 2007, Les Smith. Yeah, and he's like, he said he threw away a championship in Texas just to take out Freeze because Freeze had been frustrating so much. And now the way that Freeze's professional career has been going, Les said his only regret is that he didn't click the bike into fifth gear, that he only hit Freeze in fourth gear.
Yeah, so it seems like every week we talk about Vince, and like, I don't know, like we haven't talked about him too much until like the last couple months. But we all know like who he is and how he rides. But like ever since going to the 250s, like, man, that guy's aggressive, and it's different for sure because he was in the back of the pack for the 450 class. But moving down to the 250s, and he's right there with Craig and Lawrence. Obviously, he is a bit slower, but like, I don't know. Like, it's easy to say, oh, just let him pass you and stick or tag along right behind him. But there's like a point where like I like aggressive racing, rubbiness racing, but, like, that's way too far. Like, the line, you can't even see the line from where he's at right now. Definitely crossed the line. And it's like, come on, like, what Christian even said, they're on the gate, and he was, like, just saying something about how it's like, dude, you're in a really good spot right now. You can get a podium. Let's ride clean. And Vince was like, yeah, for sure. Then, like, a minute later, he just gets, or Vince cleans Christian out, which is...
Yeah.
Which is BS, and it was kind of crazy how far Christian flew into that like garage door or whatever that was there.
Yeah. Thankfully, he was okay, and man, it just shows you how much of a champion Craig is this season, because Mosman went down in the first corner in the first moto and only came back to 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Craig went down, and he came all the way back to 4th.
Yeah, 4th. And that was in a shorter Triple Crown main event, so not like it was a standard 15-minute.
Yeah.
So, main event as well. So
same, like I said, you would some people might like argue that Mosman's Craig's top competition on the West Coast, and he could only make it back to 10th in a short main event, and Craig was able to come all the way back to 4th. And like, I would even say that Craig was probably down on the ground longer than Mosman was.
Yeah, and yeah, well, he's been looking really good this year, and like, with that being said, I'm super happy for the guy. The guy's been through, like, hell and back. His whole story of his career since he turned pro in, I think it was, like, 11. So 11 years being pro since 2011 there, and a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of people hating on him this year, and I posted something earlier this week about it, just my take on it, and kind of wanted to get your take on it as well. Because I see, like, if you think he should move up in the 450 class, I totally see that. But there's people, like, totally talking shit. Like, that's all they do, talk shit about him online on Instagram and Twitter and stuff. But, like, my take on it is the dude's 30 years old. Like, I think he should be in the 450s. But, hey, you know, in this these last couple years, it's so stacked in the 450 class. No one can get a ride. Like, McElrath was having troubles there, it seemed like. And y'all seen what he did in the 250 class. And plenty of other guys as well. So it's like, almost the whole main event has a ride, like a, not a factory ride, but a pretty good ride, if not factory, a satellite ride. Like, there might be one or two privateers in the 450 class, so it's like just so hard to find a ride, which is forcing them to stay down in the 250 class. So I don't know what his salary is right now, but even if it's pretty low and he's getting these bonuses each weekend for winning, or, you know, at the very bare minimum getting on the podium, I'd rather, you know, race 250s, try to get a title, and feed your family. Like, and obviously he could still make money on the 450, but he's getting a way bigger paycheck. So yeah, my whole take on it is he's getting paid, and I'm sure he's 30 years old, so I'm sure if he had an opportunity in the 450 class, he would take it. Not like he's going to turn down some, you know, offer to race 450s full time.
Yeah, I mean, I completely respect what Craig's doing. And like I said, I think it's just kind of the day and age of the sport and how you have to treat it. You got plenty of other people in the class, like Alex Martin just moved up to 450, which is really cool and honorable of him. But then, you know, his brother Jeremy, but even now, you know, a little bit, still pretty recent, but a little bit longer ago, Zach Osborne, he went over to Europe, and, you know, I mean, he never even stopped racing, whereas Craig actually took a year or two off because of injuries and was kind of rethinking his career path and thinking of getting out of the sport. You know, and I don't really remember anybody ever giving Zach Osborne a hard time, but he was just as old and same thing, completely dominating. He got two Lightcast championships back to back in Supercross on the Husky. I mean, I don't know. I completely respect it. Like you said, you just gotta kind of go where the money is, and I don't know. I think it's completely fine, like going and winning, and I think. I don't know, even for Vince Freeze, I think it, like, almost re-energizes you coming down and kicking some ass, and then maybe, you know, going to the 450s, you know?
Yeah, like, and I have no problem with Vince coming down as well, not like it's Ryan Dungey, like, dusting off the boots and coming back and racing 250s, or like, a bigger name, like, let's say, Malcolm or something, coming down.
Do you remember, it was outdoors in the early 2000s.
Mike Brown and Ryan Hughes?
No, Ricky Carmichael won the championship, like, wrapped it up a round early and raced the last round on a 125 in the 125 what? Class. Just because he fucking could. He's a badass right there.
When was that?
He was still on a Cowie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he won the outdoor championship in the you know, KX250 and then wrapped it up a round early and...
Come down. And people think it's like, well, there are kids out there on the 250 class. It's like, well, it's a pro class, not like it's A class, not like he's dipping down, going to Baja Acres racing. racing A class there. It's like, well, first off, like I was saying something about Ryan Hughes and Mike Brown, they went back down later in their career in 02 or 03, I think it was. Mike Brown on PC and Ryan on KTM, and that's them. But fast forward to now, where the field is completely stacked, and everything's just, I think, crazy competitive, like way harder than it ever was before, and that's forcing kids to stay in there longer. Normally, you get your 2-3 years in, then boom, you're up in the 450 class. Where now you're hanging in there. Faulkner's been hanging in there for a while. I think since 2016, 2017, ish. He's been in there for a while. Hampshire's been in there for a while. You know, this list can go on and on. And not like, with that being said, not like they're 17-year-old. Well, how old is Jet? Like 18? He's like, he's on his own gig though. He's like superhuman. But yeah, there's all these guys, Hampshire's in his mid 20s, Faulkner's mid 20s, Justin Cooper mid 20s. So not like he's racing 16, 17, 18 year olds.
Yeah.
All these guys are in their mid 20s. There might be the occasional rookie, but even the guys turning pro like 10, 15 years ago, they turned pro at 16, but now they're waiting like 18, you know, closer to 19. You're seeing some guys turn pro because it's just same with the 450 or the 250 with the 450s. It's so stacked and it's hard to find a ride now. Like you see Star, they have like a million riders and all of them are really good. And they had to drop Fry last year and Fry, like honestly, he did pretty good, but you know, not good enough to keep that Star ride. But
yeah,
it's like, I don't know, like, and one other thing to it. They said, well, he's sandbagging. It's like, well, he's looking really good this year, and it would be a little bit different for sure if Jet was in there and Cooper was in there or even Nickel. Yeah, Colt Nichols there. It would be a lot different as well, but I think sandbagging would be if he had three titles by now and he's, you know, waxing everyone each week, you know, winning the whole season. But he's looking good this year, looking really good, way better than Hunter and Mosman, but he's not sandbagging. He hasn't even won a title yet. Like, so I don't know. I don't see that argument there.
No, yeah, it's not even wrapped up yet. It's only 8-point gap. Hunter just got his first win, and I mean, I said it last week. You see how hungry that kid is, and how angry he is that he is with himself if he's not winning every weekend on the podium. And he's playing the consistency game right now. I don't think anybody's been more consistent and mistake free than Hunter. So I mean, I don't know. Whatever. People can stand on their soapbox and say what they want as long, you know, and it doesn't seem to be affecting Craig, so.
No, and like he talked about a little bit, but I don't think he lets it get to him because no matter what you do, there's going to be haters, especially on social media with everyone nowadays where they can just, I don't know, if they're at work or they're at school and they're pissed off and they see a picture of Craig, you know, on the podium being all happy, they just want to shit on him for no reason, but.
He probably hasn't gotten anything this week. It's probably been going to Freezy.
Yeah, with the whole Freezy thing. But honestly, there's been a lot of posts about Freezy, obviously. But there's a lot of people backing him up, though. I'm surprised. A lot of people are saying how that's Craig's fault. I don't see how that's Craig's fault at all. But
I don't know. I'm feeling like, because like last week, I'm eating my words. I feel like because I was kind of standing up for Freezy, like just saying.
Well, like
you got to bring it home, kind of thing, and just keep some mistakes and get some podiums. And like I think I even said it last week. You know, it's good just to get a fire under your ass. But then he goes out and rides like that.
Yeah, and it's weird because everyone in the pits that know him personally, they're like, yeah, he's a really cool dude. He's really nice and everything. But he gets on the track and he's like,
doesn't think
like a bulldozer or something, just plowing people over. But Yeah, like, he just doesn't think. It's like, holy crap. Like, how can this one dude be involved with so many different, like, takeouts? And then, also, with the whole, kind of going off topic for a second, but with the whole, you know, debate with Christian and Vince, they're talking about, well, Christian's not perfect. He cleaned out A-Mart, and I think, was that Detroit a couple of years ago when he was on, when Alex Martin was on Troy Lee KTM?
Mm-hmm.
He cleaned them out really bad, and that was a really bad takeout. But even Christian talked about it this week on Pulp. He was just saying how he felt like shit for that. Like, he was like, that was a dirty move, and right after, like, I felt like shit. And he learned from that mistake, and he moved forward, apologized to Alex, and tried to move forward from that. Where Vince keeps on making these mistakes every week. If it's not every week, it's quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's craziness there, and it seems like each week it's like, well, this season's really entertaining, but it keeps on getting more and more entertaining. And then Christian needs to watch out though, because Hunter Lawrence is right there, 8 points back, like you said, and he hasn't been as flashy as I thought he was gonna be. But then again, he didn't know he was racing West Coast until what was it, like a week or two before, maybe a little bit longer, but
I think I almost seems like Hunter's getting better as the weeks go on.
Yeah, he's looking nice and smooth and good, and no, Shimoda's looking better. But yeah, it was just a really weird weekend with with that and the Triple Crown. But man, that track layout was awesome. Like, I got to give Dirtworks and whoever else had a say in it, like, a big shout out there, because that track was awesome. Longer lap times, obviously. The stadium there in Glendale's, the floor space is a lot bigger than the typical stadium, even the other the football stadiums for sure. But yeah, really good track, and I guess we'll see how A2 plays out, because Vince is on probation, which I don't know what that means, because technically, you know, they don't have to put you on probation to dock you or suspend you or do anything, fine you. But let's see if he does anything, if, you know, any little dirty move, and let's see if the AMA steps in and does something for once.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't mean, because he was even, I think I said this to you earlier, he was, was riding kind of what I thought was kind of dirty and aggressive with Shimoda in the first moto last weekend too. So it's, you know, I mean, it wasn't like it was just that isolated incident that weekend. And I don't know, he's been kind of, I don't know, he's just, the way he rides is just kind of, you can tell it's just annoying. But going in the with Craig and stuff like that, and Hunter Lawrence, and kind of curious too, to Hunter, I think, is building momentum, getting better as the weeks go on. I think he's getting stronger, but kind of curious to see, once it comes down to like an East-West showdown too, how that might shake things up even. Like, I'm wondering,
yeah,
like, if like Jet will have anything for him, or, you know, I'm wondering if there's anybody on the other coast that can just straight up beat Craig, because I'm just curious who's the fastest. Who's the fastest 250 rider right now on Supercross?
I would imagine Jet, but Christian's been looking really good. Like, let's forget about all the other riders he's racing against, just watching him ride. Like, the dude's on it. And it really sucks that Jet got hurt, because that would have been a really good championship with them, and then if Cooper raced as well.
Yeah, they had, and him and Craig had some really good battles last season too, him and Jet.
Craig. Yeah, like, that last season was really good, and Cole was in there and somehow got the title. But
yeah.
He did look better than Christian at the end of the year, but all three of those guys looked really good. And really unfortunate to see that, but with that being said, the East Coast is going to be good. Like we were saying earlier, the East Coast is pretty stacked, to say the least. So that's going to be really good racing. A lot of experienced guys in there, like Faulkner. Chet, I guess, is a couple years in now already. Time flies there, but yeah, that's going to be really good. And then the 450 class is really heating up, and the points aren't as close as they were. It was, like, really freaky close, but yeah, it's still looking really good. Like, just, it's really entertaining, and a couple guys like Anderson and Tomac are looking a hell of a lot better than they have, like, in any of the recent years at all.
Yeah. The Tomac, like you said, like, I don't know, at this point, everybody's kind of establishing themselves in the class, and you can kind of making it a little bit easier to make your, like, fantasy picks and stuff week in and week out. But, you know, like I said, Tomac just handed it to everybody last week, and that was really cool to see. Just, you know, so you even said that track was amazing last weekend, and it really catered to Tomac, like, some of those big old rhythms he was uncorking, you know, like quad and stuff, and some of the triples, and just, you know, that was just him, like, hanging out and revving the piss out of that bike. And those starts were amazing. Like, I thought that was, like, the coolest showdown I've ever seen, of, like, seeing which factory bike's the fastest, because that big long start, you could just see Tomac's bike just hand it to everybody else.
Yeah, it's freaky. I was freaking out after the first time he got the start in the first race, and I was like, oh my god, Tomac got a start. And then the second race he did it, I, like, almost lost my shit there.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, did I fall asleep? It's like 12 o'clock at night right now. And I'm like, what the heck's this? But he looked really good. And what I was telling you earlier is, I think he really hasn't looked this good since 2018. And that new Kawi came out at the first race, I guess, he used it at was Red Bud for MX Nations 2018. And ever since, like, he looked really bad that weekend. But ever since then, he's hasn't looked the same. He hasn't looked like the normal Tomac that has that raw speed and just you know, how he normally is. And he even won a title a couple years ago, but still, like he looked good that year, but he just didn't look the same. And a lot of people argue with me on that. They're like, well, you won a title, what are you talking about? But I saw him ride this weekend, and I'm like, oh my god, he's back. He hasn't look this good in years. So I think he looks way better than what he did when he won that his first Supercross title in the 450 class in 2020.
Yeah, he looks really good. Too, like, I'm curious, you know, with like Cooper Webb not being able to hang it in there and stuff like that. I've heard talks of the people saying the 2023 KTM isn't handling that good in the whoops and stuff, and I wonder if that even goes for the Husky too, because they say that's like the one place that all the KTM guys have been struggling, and like including Cooper. And this past weekend had like a really the shortest, smallest set of whoops we've seen.
Yeah, in that huge stadium, that short whoops.
And like that, because they said that Mookie's usually really, really good in the whoops, and they said he hasn't been as good this year, but he's been like better everywhere else, and that he got ended up getting second overall, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. Like he said, the bike setup, they're working on it, and the team told him just. Like, we got to work on it every weekend. We're going to get better and better. Like, they weren't expecting to come out at A1 having the bike dialed. Just because I think it was... I know KTM got the bikes and stuff pretty late on, and I think it was November, I heard, where everything was just running behind, and plus it's a brand new bike. So, you know, they got to test that and get that all set up. And still, so Malcolm made the switch over to the Husky, and a brand new bike for them as well. So they're just kind of figuring that out. But he said he's way better everywhere else, like you said. He said he felt better in the corners. Just the whoops, he isn't the same. Because, you know, we know how Malcolm is. He normally just clicks a gear that really don't know where he gets it from, but he hauls through him. Yeah. But he hasn't looked like his normal self. But then it's weird with Cooper. I think in the last episode we were talking about the panic button and do we hit it? Like a lot of people around the motocross industry have been talking about. But yeah, I think it's time to hit the panic button. What about you? You hit the panic button on Webb yet?
Yeah, like I'm wondering if they're gonna be able to get some stuff figured out or what. He's I don't know. Like I want to see him just start mixing some stuff up, and he hasn't. And I don't know. And like even going back to like how well Tomac is doing, I heard somebody say that like. He was, you know, started testing with Yamaha and Supercross in December, and they were going up to him like, you want to try like making some changes and testing the bike? And Tomac's like told him no. He's like, don't change a thing. He's like, because what's the point of starting to chase our tail now? He's like, because Tomac's been doing this for so long now, and he's so good. He's like, we're just gonna change everything around once the first round hits anyway. So he's like, I'm pretty comfortable on the bike now. Just leave it. We'll wait till we actually get to the races when all those changes are gonna matter more. And then that's when he started dialing in his bike. And now we're here. Here we are 4 rounds in. He's had 4 rounds to make all those changes that he would have been making anyway. And he's got that bike figured out. And he's fucking hauling.
Yeah, he's looking really good. And it's really good to see. And then with Webb, it's like, I was saying last week, it's like he's looking bad each week. But I'm like, you can't really hit that panic button because he's Cooper Webb. Like, after his first title, we're all like, where'd he go? He's not looking that good. And then, boom, he won another title. So it's like you can't count him, you can't count the dude out. But at the same time, like I was thinking this weekend, I'm sitting there watching all three main events, and I'm like, I don't know, like I really don't want to hit that button quite yet, but I think it's time. But then again, East Coast is coming up, and he might do a lot better in East Coast. So I hit the panic button officially, I guess, I can say that. But I don't know, going in the East Coast, he might pull something out of his ass and get up on the podium or even surprise everyone with a win, but who knows at this point, honestly.
Yeah. Well, see, that is a good point with the East Coast. I don't know, though. Like I said, I don't know if it's just I'm going to maybe blame the bike, you know? Like,
well, yeah.
I think if he doesn't start performing, I think it's just KTM's probably just going to call this year a wash. And blame their new bike and not having the settings figured out on it yet.
What it made crazy, too, I was thinking about the bike. And Plessinger coming over for the legendary Red Bull team, the Red Bull KTM team. And not having a good setup like he had at Star. And then I think that would kind of be ironic. But it's just really weird with people moving around this year. And Malcolm's looking really good on Husky, though. But Eli, like we said, he looks really good on Yamaha. So if with that being said, you're like, oh, the Cowie's crap then. But you look at Anderson, he's on the Cowie. He's looking way better than he ever did on the Husqvarna, or at least since whenever he got that title, I think it was 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm getting so, like, I love watching Anderson just hanging out and, like, that speed he just pulls out of nowhere. But then just those little mistakes he keeps making, it's just like, oh, man, like, you just want to see him up front and flawless, but then he just keeps making these little mistakes and it just make me, like, throw my hands up in the air. I'm like, no. But, yeah, did you see this video of Tomac at the practice track doing these gnarly quads and stuff?
No, the troll train fly.
Watch this, dude. Wow. Okay, now watch him through the whoops after this section.
What the heck? It's like a video game.
Unreal's fast, man. Like, so, tell me that's not something you're just having fun, like, laying it down, man.
It's kind of weird. Well, not weird, but it's really good to see with just how happy the dude looks. Like, not like he looked miserable before, but, like, he seems just to be, like, loving life. Like, he's on, like, cloud nine. Like, just, like, loving it. Like, you hear interviews or whatever it is. It's like he just seems really happy. And we've seen him before, like, back in 2016, 17, where he would crash and come through the pack and catch up to Dungey and stuff. And we'd just be kind of blown away. And it's kind of cool now because I think it's harder to do in this day and age with just the top 10 being so freaking stacked. But, like, I don't think he can come up through the pack like he used to. But he has the speed, I think, right now. And it's really exciting to see.
He's got a pretty cushy lead right now. He's got an 11-point lead, so that's kind
of... Well, and normally he screws himself. Like, when he was doing really good a few years ago, back in 2016, 17, he would screw himself in the West Coast and be playing catch-up, like, 20 points down going in the East Coast and make up almost all those points. Where now, it's just, you know, you can say the West Coast is his weakness, and he's up 11 points, and he's looking really good, too, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, not like he's heading east, and he's not no stranger to East Coast conditions, so.
Yeah, he usually kills it there, man. How cool is Daytona going to be to watch, even though, like, we already know who's going to win, but if Tomac keeps riding like this, like, Daytona's going to be pretty sweet. Like,
I know, I want to go so bad. I wanted to go to Daytona again this year, and I just imagine if I can get actually closer down to the freaking track. I was there last year and up in the middle of nowhere. Oh, my God. Like, no joke, I was there last year, and with COVID, they had me and my cousin that went with me. Like, we're the only ones in our freaking section because of COVID. The whole section, and we'd look down. Right in front of us was the fly truck, and we're, like, all the way up in the top of the stadium. And we could barely see the track. We can see the color of the bikes, and you can barely even tell, like, the riding style. Like, I wish we would have snuck over and sat somewhere else, but... Yeah, anyways, with that being said, just my whole point was I kind of want to go this year and get closer to see and the racing because, you know, like, that's going to be really good, like, with Daytona and Atlanta, too.
Yeah, I would almost rather, if I had to pick, I would almost rather go to Atlanta just because that was some really cool, unique racing, like, different style of supercross than you'd ever seen being on a hard pack speedway style track like that. Like,
those tracks were sick.
Yeah, those were crazy, like, how much faster they could go. Like, they didn't have, like, sand slowing them down and stuff. That was really, really cool. So I think that'll be even more fun to watch. And
yeah, that'd be easier to go to. I can just drive down there. Let's do it. We can drive down there, sneak in the pits.
Yeah,
review some riders.
Yeah, so that should be cool. And isn't it one of the Atlanta's the East West Shootout, or am I thinking of something else?
I have no idea, honestly.
It was just I literally just had it pulled up, and it's the third to last round. What the heck is it? Yeah, it's Atlanta. One of the Atlanta Motor Speedways is a East West Shootout too. That would be the one.
How many rounds is there?
Hmm.
How many rounds is there at the speedway there?
Isn't there two?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe there's only one.
What is it? I was trying to look at the schedule because I wanted to go down south, but...
Yeah, there's only one at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and that one's an East-West Shootout.
East-West at that track.
Oh, that one says it's starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, too.
What the hell?
I didn't realize that. I thought somebody told me all of them. What the heck? And then Foxborough's a 3 p.m. start.
Oh, heck, they have Foxborough, yeah.
Freaking... It says Denver's a 3 p.m. start, too. What the heck? Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at the schedule, too. Yeah, there are going to be some good rounds there. Where's Atlanta? Arlington, that'll be a fun one to go to. But, yeah, we have one more week of West Coast, and we're hitting the 250 East class. And, man, that's going to be good racing, like we said. So, and the West Coast guys, normally I think they have, like, an eight-week break, they're saying. And this season is only five, so... It's going to be a little bit different for them, you know, with tests and outdoors and stuff before going back to Supercross. But we can see if Hunter can kind of creep up and into the picture a little bit more going into the big break with, you know, being right there on Craig. So, but I don't know, like the thing for Hunter is, let's say he figures it out, he does really good, beats Christian's ass, like heads up. And I don't see Christian doing worse than second, so it's like he's going to gain 3 points. So it's going to be really hard to reel Christian in, but who knows? He can have events working with him, so, you know, that Honda deal or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, a little brand love, but, yeah, it's going to be good racing, though.
Yeah, it should be really, really, really interesting. And I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. But, yeah. I don't know if Honda... I had that thought last weekend, too, if, like, Honda was given any orders.
Yeah, what if they were?
So I've heard of that in the past, but, like, I don't know if they would do anything that drastic. As far as, like... But...
If they were, that'd be hilarious, though. In a way. Not really, but... Yeah. But going back to Anaheim for the third time should be a good one, I guess. And, I'm curious to see how Anderson rides. It's just, I don't, like, what you said earlier, how it's easier to predict the results. It's getting there for sure. I'm just kind of, I have a couple question marks on guys like Sexton. Like, can Sexton pull it off consistently and be up there? We all know he can, but, you know, can he stay up on two wheels? And just, even if it's not a win, because he has the speed to win for sure, but if it's not a win, if it's a second or a third, you know. But I think anyway, like, it doesn't matter how this thing plays out. Whatever way it goes, I think it's going to be a really good one. And even when we head east, who knows what's going to happen with the whole KTM riders and everything.
Yeah. Right, this is the track map for this weekend. I like the finish line. Looks like it's going to be a pretty big, like, it looks like it's going to be a bigger than normal double because it jumps over the start straight. Like, in the first corner of the start of, like, the whole shot. So it looks like it's going to be a booter, but this is...
I wonder if that's going to be a shorter lap time. I don't know.
I don't know, because, like, they have, like, a lot of these tight twists and turns back here and stuff. It's, like, it's got some really, like, stuffy, like, very short sections with back and forths, and I think that will add to the time and stuff, and it still looks like a big, long track with lots of rhythm lanes and stuff, so.
Yeah, and it's a baseball stadium, too.
I think it'll still be close to a minute, at least. So. Yeah, that should be... Pretty interesting.
And going back to Glendale for a second, we said how that sand corner was going to be important, and it was going to be more of a factor than the last corner there. Yep. And I guess we were right in a way. Kind of, sort of.
The sand section here at Anaheim 3 is almost just through, like, a little sweeper, and it's just supposed to have some rollers, like, where if it doesn't get too worn down, they might actually be able to rhythm through it and stuff like that. But it's not a sharper corner where, like, you're going to have a better opportunity for passing and stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, and I, you know, if we want to go talking, like, about Freezy and how he's on probation and stuff like that, and kind of going back to that, like, how I said earlier that he was, like, making passes on, like, or trying to shut down Craig, who's clearly faster than him, that was gonna get me going on my rant about, like, Justin Barcia and Jason Anderson, how, like, in years past, it seems like they've almost been, like, targeted by the AMA for what I wouldn't even consider, like, dirty riding. Like, yeah, they're making, like, aggressive passes, but it's, like, they're making passes on people that I believe they're better than. You know what I mean? They're just trying to get around people, and Supercross is so hard to pass in general. You know, they're not holding people up and being mean like that. They're just coming through the pack, and, like, you know, I've heard people say in the past in, like, racing situations is, like, when you're moving through the pack like that and you come up and pass people aggressively, you're just getting around people, I mean, I've been in that type of zone before in race situations where it's like you're not even looking at the people in front of you. You're looking past them. You're looking through them.
Yeah, it's pretty much like you're an assassin just trying to pick them off.
Yeah.
That's kind of like...
You don't even realize it. Like, you could have just made an aggressive pass on your friend and not even realize it was him because you're so in the moment in the race situation like that. You're just...
Well...
Trying to get to the front as fast as you can.
Yeah, with you saying that, too, I totally forgot Christian got a little dirty with Nate Thrasher there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nate, you know, was a little dirty back, and Christian's like, what the hell? And he's like, well, you did whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was just in that zone trying to pick off people, and, like, I don't have experience motocross-wise, but just from, like, my mountain bike and cycling experience, like, passing people on the first lap, if there's, like, group of 10 guys, you know, obviously a little bit different than motocross, but like my whole mindset was being an assassin, just trying to pick people off left and right. It's like, you don't really think that hard about making one move. You're just trying to go through as fast as possible. And especially in the supercross, like just how stacked it is. Like, I'm broken record saying that a million times, but it's true. Where a lot of these guys, like Tomac, if he gets an eighth or ninth place start, he's kind of screwed.
Yeah.
And even, you're like, well, it's a 20-minute main event. But even with it being 20 minutes, like, you still are screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, like you said, how hard it is for them to move through the pack. And I don't know. That's crazy. Cooper Webb, didn't he got, like, a third-place start in one of the races last weekend, and he fell back to, like, fifth or sixth, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's why I hit the panic button for sure. Because, like, they showed him, and he didn't look like he had that fire. Like, it would be different if they flashed the camera to him. Oh, Cooper Webb's and got a 13th place start, and he worked his way up to 8th, and then he's still getting 8th place or like 5th place maybe.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's like, man, he needs to work on his starts, but it's like, no, even when he does get a decent start, he kind of drops back, I've been noticing. So
yeah,
I think it has to be with the bike.
I've heard people say, like, as of right now, the season this far, he is like the 8th fastest guy. Like I said, it's kind of going back to like how I'm being able to like kind of make your picks of like the order people are going to finish. Now it's like I said, we could probably, you know, fairly confidently say like Tomac's the fastest, and then Jason Anderson, and then Sexton, and then, you know, maybe Roczen, and then like Malcolm Stewart. But then it's, you know, I mean, if you go in that order of like just how people are stacking up, it's like Cooper Webb's right there in the 8th place guy, and then I would probably say at this point Dean Wilson's like the 9th place guy, which is kind of crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, in that order, you're like Dean Wilson, you know, and just the way everybody's been finishing these past couple years and stuff, you're like, how's Cooper Webb that, you know, that far behind the eight ball? Like,
it's like you don't want to believe it almost.
Well, you don't think it has anything to do with him leaving Alden, do you?
Like, my opinion, like, who knows what I know, but or who knows if what I'm thinking is true, but I don't think so. Like, he seems to be fit, but who knows? We've seen people leave Alden in the past and do really bad, so
yeah.
I don't know if, like, we all know Alden's program is really successful. It's been working for 20-some years or around there with Carmichael and James and Villopoto. Oh, yeah. Adam and Roczen.
Dungy.
All the top guys, man. But
Webb.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that dude just has that, like, mental toughness and everything. I don't think he would be slacking at all. And I know it's a lot more than working out. Like, all the fans here, like, if you guys don't know anything about, or not that much about moto, you think it's just, like, there's a lot of work that goes into it in the week, but still, I think Cooper isn't, like, slacking at all. I don't know. Like, I could be wrong, but...
You think it's just that bike setup and trying to get that new bike and new model figured out?
Yeah, I guess. And even from hearing what Malcolm was saying about the Husky guys, and they're like, oh, we're learning this bike together. Don't expect it to be great. Just, you know, we're going to improve on it each week. And with that being said, it's probably the same thing for the KTM guys.
Yeah.
And
I wonder,
yeah,
it makes you wonder if there's going to be a point this season where, like, it just clicks, at least for maybe one or two of the guys, and you start seeing the Huskies and KTMs back up front again, you know.
Yeah. And with like I said earlier, I hit the panic button, but, like, who knows with the bike. Like, they can have something going by Minneapolis, you know, having 6 weeks, 7 weeks in the books or whatever of testing the bike and making changes and everything.
And maybe it might even get better too, because don't they probably do a lot of their testing at Baker's factory in Florida?
Maybe. Yeah, so
maybe on that dirt.
Yeah, I think they're on the East Coast too.
So maybe once we get to some more East Coast dirt and stuff like that, maybe it'll all start falling into place or something, you know?
Yeah, so I don't want to count them out yet, but I kind of do.
And then kind of going back to like that.
Okay, we're good.
Going back to the like fitness thing with Cooper Webb and stuff like that. I want to maybe get on to how I've been sticking my nose in people's business this week.
Good story.
Yeah.
Good story here, guys.
And where saw Alex Martin in his newest vlog, he made a mention that to Garrett Swanepoel when they were doing track walk last week, that morning Jeremy had done a 5K run like workout, and he did it in like 16:23, I think is what it was, like 16 minutes and 23 seconds. He ran a 5K, and I'm pretty into running. I feel like I know quite a bit about it. I run a lot. I feel like at least, you know, more than most people. And a 16:23 time, like I ended up going and finding Jeremy's workout on Strava. And that's what he had posted. It was like average heart rate 185, average mile pace 513, and it was like a 16:23 5K. And I was like, how in the heck? As I know how I have really long legs, and running kind of comes natural to me as far as good pace. And the fastest 5K I've ever done was like 18:57. And I mean, I'm not a professional athlete, but just knowing Jeremy Martin is a shorter person and all that stuff. So I commented on Alex Martin's YouTube video when he made that statement, and I commented on Jeremy's post just because, I don't know, I just have nothing else better to do. And a few more runners that I've talked to have told me that like Garmin workout watches, they can glitch, and they glitch even more when you're running laps on the track. And that's what Jeremy was doing for that workout. He was at like a high school track running laps. And so calling him out for it. And I got them both responding to me. And Jeremy just said, you know, like that is his other workouts, because I had made mention that like Jeremy's other workouts that he usually does, he's usually running like a 7:45 mile pace. So dropping a 7:45 mile for like your warm up pace to like your all out pace to a 5:10, that's a huge gap. Because like I know what my usual like warm up pace is, and my usual warm up pace is the 7:45, 7:30, and my like going hard pace is like maybe low 6 minutes, 6:30. So yeah, Jeremy had said to me, my other runs are morning warm up to get going in the morning before riding. And then in Alex's video, I said Jeremy is running average 7:45 miles on Strava and then just randomly drops a 16-minute 5K. I'm like, Alex, I don't believe it. And Alex is like, why not? There are morning warm-ups you run that are seen and done at a heart rate of 120 to 140. He's usually training two more times throughout the day after. Plus, you can see it by his heart rate. His threshold is roughly 185. It would be incredibly dumb if he ran that pace every day before hopping on an SX track to train.
No, it would be smart. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm like, okay, guys, like, whatever you're, like, and, I mean, I respect the shit out of Martin Bros. I've had plenty of people tell me, and I completely believe it just by watching them ride, that Alex and Jeremy Martin are two of the fittest people on the track. Like, they don't need somebody like Alden Baker.
It's kind of funny, too, because if you hear old stories about Jeremy, he would be sitting in the tunnel at Millville eating candy and eating whatever snacks. I forgot what it was, like some Little Debbie cakes, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Alex said he dug up. Dug up wrappers in the freaking tunnel under the jumps at Millville or wherever the tunnel's at. But yeah, I have nothing but respect for that too. That dude's just, or both of them, like you said, are like animals. Like they really get after it, and yeah, like they're older and for, you know, motocross age wise, and it's cool to see what they're doing now. And yeah, hopefully Alex continues to get better in the 450. I don't know what it is, but watching him on the 450, man, he looks small.
Yeah, dude, I can't believe, like, watching him go through whoops and stuff like that.
Oh, geez.
They need to, like, lower the subframe on that bike, cut a seat, like, pull out some, like, Ricky Carmichael lowering bike stuff, like, raise foot pegs, like, because that guy needs some more reach through the whoops.
And those ropes this year are no joke. Yeah, like, you ask any rider that has raced so far in the West Coast, and they're like, yeah, there's something different about these whoops this year. And that's what even Malcolm said. He's like, the bike's different. It's not handling as good through the whoops as my setup last year. But at the same time, these whoops this year are a lot different. So
it's almost like the promoters are like pissed off, and they're like, we're tired of watching Cooper Webb find jump lines through the whoops. So that's not going to happen this season.
Or they just want to kill the privateers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you. We don't want you coming. No. I just get in there. But, yeah, it's been an eventful year for sure. And the whoops have been all over social media because they're huge.
Yeah.
And it's funny to see track walk and people are, like, in the middle of them. You're like, holy crap. Just imagine when they get rough.
Yeah.
It's like... It's one of those things that, like, honestly, I saw one of those, and I'm like, I kind of want to hit him, watch myself grenade, like, the first one in. But, yeah, those are just insane. But, yeah, man, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about from Glendale and stuff.
You want to make some predictions for this weekend?
Yeah, we got our predictions. We had a thing last week. We said we would have graphs and charts. I've came here with no graphs and no charts, so my bad on that one.
It's Valentine's Day weekend, too, man. We gotta...
What's that segment need to be called? We need to... Like, seriously, I want to have some segments for this show. Like, we've been going for 35 episodes, kind of really loosely, kind of like... I don't know. Like, I like Joe Rogan stuff, but he's, like, a professional at it. And even
professional
though,
at taking drugs and talking about aliens and outer space
and shrooms yeah. and marijuana and stuff, but I don't know. I kind of want to get some segments up in this thing, and for that one, we need a name for it. So I don't know what we're naming it, but yeah, I don't really know. I don't have any good juicy info for this week. I don't think.
No.
What do you?
I feel like there was something. I can't think of it right at the moment. What was? But yeah. We should see.
We're going to go full on TMZ or whatever the hell.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
In the future, so that's one of the things you guys have to look forward to. But I don't know, I don't have anything.
No, I haven't really seen much. Is Forkner's girlfriend still a monster girl?
I don't know.
I don't think she is.
What's her name?
Riley.
Here she is. Damn.
I don't think she is a monster girl anymore.
No.
She's Eli Tella. What's this? Oh, Elite Model Management.
Well, damn.
I should probably send these people an email just looking for a job so I can get a job with Elite Model Management, LA. It's going to be my next job. But, yeah, she must not be doing that anymore, which maybe that's good, kind of get her away from that scene and less drama for those two.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
One thing I don't get is, what's that, the monster girl, the main one from a couple years ago? Like, that position. They always had, like, what's her face? Diana up there. Like, that. And
Diana Dahlgren?
Yeah, you would see her on the broadcast, you know? Then that Juliana chick would come out.
Okay.
But now there's... Who's filling her spot? Because there would be Jenny Taff with Fox, right? Then there'd be Juliana and Diana talking about whatever. And, you know, there were monster girls back then. Now there's no check to fill that spot.
No, but it was funny because like a couple weeks ago they had that other girl in that I'm pretty sure she's been working arena cross.
Christian B.
Was that it?
I don't know. I knew she.
Like she didn't have an accent. She was I think that sounds right. She was hot, dude, and like she seemed like she was doing a better job than this other chick whose name I can't remember that has an accent.
Fuck, what's her name?
I don't know, but I don't like her.
It was hot, Georgia Lindsay. She needs to come back. She's a mom though. She had a baby since she moved over to Europe, so she has her own life going over there. But yeah, she was cool on the pro motocross.
Yeah, somebody told me, have you watched any of the arena cross this year?
Hoosier or the kicker? I haven't watched, I guess, I haven't watched any of them, so.
Okay.
I guess the question.
Somebody told me that that chick that whatever, she's doing the arena cross.
Christian Beat, yeah.
And then somebody told me that Ralph Sheheen and Jeff Emmett are the announcers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Why the heck?
Yeah, that's Hoosier, yeah.
Why are they over there? I need to watch arena cross just for that team setup, like the TV crew, because that is like all-star picks.
Well, and I was listening to Pulp, and shout out to them. Seven Deuce Deuce's brother was on, Tyler, and he was talking about he filled in for her, being the track reporter, track side, whatever you're going to call it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they don't do those live, so like sometimes I don't think Ralph comes in every week, or Ralph and Jeff, you know, they just record it.
After the fact?
Yeah, they record it after the fact, but with him, he obviously has to be down on the track. But I know he said it was pretty cool because, you know, he got to talk with them. But I find it weird. It's kind of first off weird that there's two arena cross championships. So I don't know.
Is it like East and West Coast, or are they just
they're two separate things? Like,
but like, is one more based in the East and one more based in the West?
I don't know. Like they're in like small towns, like they're smaller.
Yeah.
Like the one thing that the Amsoil arena cross that Feld put on, like they're always in big name towns, like I don't know, like Nashville. I don't know, but. I don't know where they're at. Like,
I remember the years ago, the one Michigan arena cross used to be in like some middle of nowhere.
Like they had Grand Rapids for a while, but
let's see, Hoosier is in Kansas, Illinois, Oklahoma, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, Massachusetts.
But it's kind of weird. It's kind of cool though, because they're not in like the hockey stadiums or basketball, those typical arenas. They're my arm. What the hell? They're in these like bigger event buildings where it's like there's hardly any bleachers, but there's more floor space, so it's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're kind of really tamed down. Like I was talking to Brandon Ray here on the pod a few weeks ago, or a month or two ago, or whatever, and he was saying how it was just really tamed down. But that was Hoosier, and then Kicker's the official AMA championship. So, yeah, I think that's on CBS, and then they have Hoosier that it's not live, but it's on FS1 with Ralph and Jeff, which, honestly, with talking about announcers and stuff, what do you think about Zach Osborne and then Daniel being, you know, second week up there in the booth?
Yeah, I love it.
Isn't it a lot better than the
Lee?
No offense to Lee, he seems like a nice guy, like, hearing like interviews with him, people shit on him, and I feel bad for the dude, but like honestly I think Daniel's a lot better than Lee up in the booth, and Zach Osborne is really good for his second week being down there, and he said he really didn't get that much time to prepare for the first one. And then with in between the last round and going into Glendale, he got to practice, and then there's some speech guy that helps him out, and he got to work with him, and then he was a lot better than going into the third, you know, his third round this week in A2. Well, I think it would be his last round doing that, so it's gonna suck, but yeah. I don't know, I think that they all did a really good job.
Oh yeah, they're all kicking ass, and like I really like them. It's funny, I was watching with my girlfriend this past weekend, and she made a pretty good comment about like we're talking like, oh, that's Zach Osborne. She's like, who is he? And I'm like trying to tell him, like, he's like outdoor champion, the guy's amazing, like just kicks ass, and I'm like, I really love him. She's like, oh, he's got funny looking eyebrows. He's got like big old eyebrows. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
She's don't shit on Osborne like that.
Don't you talk about him like that. He's my friend. Like, no, yeah. But
he was talking, just saying how everyone was shitting on him though, like for saying and stuff like I do a million times in a podcast. But he's like, I noticed some of it, but he's like, man, it's so hard.
Yeah. Because
they have people talking in their ears when they're talking. So it's like, imagine trying to. You're on live TV in front of a camera talking about a track, breaking down whatever you want to talk about or whatever they're having you talk about, and you have someone in your ear, okay, commercial, 5-4, and you're like, fuck, I'm trying to talk here.
Yeah.
But it's a lot harder than I think people it's a lot harder for sure than what people realize, but they're doing a really good job. You can tell Daniel's getting better over the last week.
In their shoes too, it's so fast paced. Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, you're on. Okay, now you're off. Okay, now we gotta go to commercial break. Okay. And then, you know, Wygette, he was doing he was working the camera like last weekend. He was like sitting up in the booth, but like watching a screen, watching for battles, and like giving his two cents because that's, you know, it's a big production that's happening live. So they're like, okay, go to this camera now. We watch this battle. Okay, now go back to the main guys. And, like, you know, it's just boom, 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 boom.
It kind of sucks. And it's easy for us to complain sitting here on a couch, like, watching the round or watching each race, I mean. But then, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating because you hear the, I think it was Glendale at least, or Glendale, if it wasn't, it was the round before where you hear the crowd cheer, then they didn't flip the camera over, so you're like, what the hell happened? Mm-hmm. And, like, it happened, like, three times, but still, you gotta, put yourself in their shoes and how it's, like, all over the freaking place and a lot harder than what we think, or what just the general public thinks, I guess, but, yeah, they're doing a better job. Ricky's doing a little bit better, but, I don't know, like, they're all doing good.
Right. And then it's funny, too, because, like, I feel like, at least for myself, like, when I'm watching it, like, I think I've just been watching it for so long anymore that, like, I'm already watching, like, the clock and I'm, like, looking for other battles that's going on when the racing gets a little bit slow, or I'm, like, watching, like, I can really, like, feel like I can get better at, like, predicting and watching things develop on the track, or even, like you said, like, hearing the crowd and, like, oh, something just happened, and then, like, just watching a rider's name start falling, like, just to figure out who that, what just happened, and I'm so in tune with, like, the fucking broadcasting anymore. It sounds probably stupid. I'm just like,
wow. Well, that's how I am. I have a 70-inch TV, and I don't sit down. I get, like, 3 feet away from that sucker, stand up, and I watch the whole race like that. Like, I'm just in it. I might sit down, actually, but, like, normally whenever I play PlayStation or whatever, I stand, like, I'm in front of that thing in the zone, and it's, like, unfolding.
Are you okay? Do you need to talk about it?
I can't sit down. Like, I just, even if I'm, like, a normal distance away from the TV, like, if it's a football game, I sit down or whatever, but, like, just in the race, like, I'm just, like, in it, like, maybe for the main events, I'm standing up for sure, but, like.
I have to watch it the next day or else I'm falling asleep. I get so chill, like, watching it, I'm like, dang, this is good, but, like, I can't, like, stand up and get it in the moment. I'm just like, oh, man, this is good.
Like I'm in the zone.
Like, craziest, I might, like, be on the edge of my seat in, like, an epic battle. I might just be like, oh, man, this is getting intense. That's it. I'm never.
Like, I'm not pumped up, but I'm, like, I'm not stressed out, but I'm pacing around. Like, when I'm watching, like, my football team's the Detroit Lions, so there's a lot of stress there. But I just pace around if, like, the playoff games or then for Supercross. I'm like, come on, whoever, if it's AC out in the lead or Tomac, I really, I'm a big Tomac fan, so I'm, like, just, like, almost sitting there on the edge of my seat, if not, like, kind of pacing around, but yeah, good times. I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, I guess we can go into our predictions here, but let me pause it here and so we can fit this into our segment.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Moto247 Show. I'd really appreciate it if you guys would go give us a follow on our Instagram pages. We are on there at Moto247 is our main page, then our podcast page is on there at the Moto247 Show. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening again, and peace out!